Good morning, everyone. I've been blessed by being here with your church today. The music has been wonderful. The fellowship I see here is marvelous. You greet everyone so well, and I count it a privilege to be here with you today. Some time ago, a pastor by the name of Ted Wilson came to me, and he said, "Maury, I want you to do me a favor." He goes to my little country church in Maryland. We have 16 ordained ministers going to this little country church, but they're not there very often. They're traveling a lot, and most of them are working at the General Conference. And Ted Wilson said, "I want you to do me a favor." I said, "Ted, what is it?" He said, "I want you to visit some churches and tell people about the Christian Record Service for the blind. We have a lot of institutions, hospitals, clinics, television programs, radio programs, publishing houses around the world. The blind are probably the most neglected people on planet Earth. For 113 years, we've had an organization that's been helping the blind, and I have been surprised to find out that many of our members do not know that it even exists. And now, in the next few months, we're going to launch a major initiative to go around the world. There's millions of people around the world that are blind. If you knock on the door of a blind person in the middle of the week, no one will come to the door. The caregiver has given them breakfast and something for lunch, gone off to work, and the door is locked, the shades are pulled. You think, surely no one is here. The blind person will not come. Who are you? Don't trust you. And so you have to go on a Sabbath or a Sunday or in the evening. The first thing you have to do is to make friends with the caregiver. But we are sharing with blind people across the United States and Canada thousands of things. We're going more and more to digital, the little box. It's a tiny box. We can put as much in a digital box as used to be in a whole bookcase. And so we're upgrading that, and we're doing a ministry to the blind. We used to have 48 blind camps. This past summer, we had only 10. So everything we do for the blind is free. We never ask what church you belong to, what you believe. If we can help them, we do it. I've been praying for you all week, because I've been praying that there will be several of you that will give $1,000 today for the blind. Maybe you can give $500. Maybe you can give less or more. I went to a little church the other day. There were five people there. I thought, well, what can five people do for the blind? Well, they gave over $500. But one man said, "I didn't put anything in that envelope that you passed out, but I will mail you something." And so I said, "Well, I'm thanking you in advance for the $2,000 you're going to mail." Got to be positive, you know. You got to suggest what you want. And he said, "Am I limited to $2,000? I said, "No, do what you can." He mailed us a check for $3,000. I went to one little church some time ago, and they said, "Pastor, we enjoyed your preaching. Do you have another sermon?" I said, "Yes, I do. I have one more." "Well, come back." So I did after a few months. The first time I was there, a man gave $1,000. The next time, that same man gave $2,000. I was there just a few weeks ago, and he gave $5,000 for the blind. So today, I want you to take that little thing that you did. Never mind, that's a thing that don't, never mind that. Anyway, I gave you some things. Keep that little thing there, Braille. It's a good bookmarker. And I want you to take that little white envelope out right now. I want you to all hold it up. And if by chance you did not get one, we have some extras out there. Take it out, would you please? Let me see you hold up this white envelope. I want to see you hold it up. Thank you. Put it up. Do you have it? I want you to put something in that today. If you can put in $1,000, please do so. If you can put $500 in it, do what you can. One little boy wrote a little note in it the other day. He put in 2 pennies, and he said, "This is all I have." My wife cried. She thought, the widow, you know, put in 2 mites. Wonderful. That's all he had. Now, what are you going to do? You know, ladies, you have a purse. You know, I am mystified with ladies' purses. They're like a bazaar. Do you know that? They're like a bazaar. Everything you can imagine is in a lady's purse. I'm amazed. If you need a Band-Aid, they'll have it. You need a pen, you need a piece of paper, you need a stamp, it's there. It's amazing what ladies have. And they carry something that men seldom carry. They have a checkbook. So ladies, do what you can. Men carry credit cards. So we have made this little envelope there. It'll take most of the credit cards you have. And did you just notice there it says, monthly till I notify you. So I met a man the other day. He said, I will give you $75 a month until I tell you to stop. And I'm hoping some of you will do that today. So I want you to be praying about that. At the end of the church service, the deacon's going to stand at the door, and I want you to do something with this envelope. Be sure to put your name and address here. We will mail you a tax-deductible receipt for your offering, whatever it is, large or small. I went to a little church the other day. They said they were having a real hard time because of the recession and building was bad and so forth. And they said, we're really in a hard time. I said, do what you can. And one of these envelopes had 10 crisp $100 bills, $1,000. Someone came to church with $1,000 cash, and he put it into this envelope. And so I hope you do something for this. I went to another church the other day, and I said, I'm hoping you can do something, maybe $4,000. They gave $4,900 and some, almost $5,000. So today, we need your help. Every penny will go to help the blind. And we need to expand that ministry. We've had some baptisms because we've had a new emphasis now on helping the blind. We have people right here in this town that we're mailing things to. If you're willing to go and visit them, we will send you a name and address. First, we write to your pastor to find out if you're a good boy or girl, and then we will give you an address of a blind person. But today, pray for that as the next few moments. Now, turn in your Bibles and open them up to 2 Chronicles 25:9. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles 25:9. I'm going to give you a minute to find it. You probably haven't been back in Chronicles for a few days. And so open your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles 25:9. And I have a memory verse there for you today. In 2 Chronicles 25:9, and Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. What do you need this morning? Do you need a wife? Do you need a husband? Do you need a job? Are you facing surgery of some kind? What do you need? Here's a little memory verse for you. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Amaziah was planning a military campaign. He had 300,000 men, but he thought he needed some more. So he had hired 100,000 from the northern tribes, and now he had 400,000. He thought he was ready to go to battle, but just then the prophet of the Lord came. And the prophet said, do not take those 100,000 men with you, for if you do, the Lord will not be with you. Well, he wanted the Lord with him, of course, but he'd paid 100 talents of silver for those hired soldiers. And so that was his question. What shall I do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? They won't give it back. What shall I do? And the prophet answered that with a spiritual theorem. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. I want you to all say that with me right now out loud. Don't be embarrassed. Say it out loud. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Abram LaRue was a sailor most of his life. When he was an old man, he settled down in Healdsburg, California. He bought a little piece of land, and he bought some sheep. And he set out on that hill watching his sheep, and one day a colporteur came by. I really believe in colporteurs. I spent 4 summers canvassing. And with God's help, I sold more books than anybody in the Union. With God's help, I bought a brand new car in the middle of the summer, selling books, new Chevrolet, V8, anyway. But anyway, I believe in colporteurs. We need some more of them going knocking on doors. And a man came and sold books to Abram LaRue. He became a Seventh-day Adventist. Then he went out to sell books. He sold books to a man who later became the president of Pacific Union College. But that wasn't enough. He wanted to do more. And so he wrote to the General Conference and he said, I want to go to China. I want to be a missionary to China. And they wrote back a very sweet letter and said, we can't send you to China because you don't have a wife. We don't send anybody without a man, no man without a wife. What can a man do without a wife? Not much, of course. And so, but they said in the letter, why don't you choose an island and go work on that island? Well, he had been a sailor, sailed all over the world, and he remembered that Hong Kong is an island. And so he went down to the wharf, and he found a captain that he'd worked with before. I want to go to Hong Kong. I work my way on across on a ship, but I can't go do the ordinary work of painting the deck and so forth on Saturday. I'm a now Seventh-day Adventist. The captain said, no problem. Come on board. He worked his way to Hong Kong, and he arrived there in 1888, the first Seventh-day Adventist to set foot in the Hall of the Orient. For all the millions of China, Korea, Japan, Philippines, Indonesia, one man. What can one man do, or one woman? They can do a lot when they're fully dedicated to the Lord. A little book, Christian Service. It says, whenever there is a revival, some individual leads out in the revival. God was going to send a flood, raised up a man. Jesus came the first time, he raised up a man. This church was founded, we're a young church, folks, founded on a group of young people who put their heart and task together to share a special message around the world. So Abram Meru, he started to study language, but first in China. You got to decide which one. Mandarin is a big one. Cantonese is the second. And then there's dialects, many of them. But while he was studying language, he went down to the ships. Hong Kong and Singapore are trans-shipping ports. That means the ships don't even come into the wharf. They change their cargo right out there in the wharf. You can look out on Hong Kong any day and see 200 ships there. I've been there many times. I spent 18 years in the Orient, traveled all over the Far East. I see quite a few people here from the Philippines. I've been to the Philippines, preached all over the Philippines. I learned to love durian. Anybody like durian? Put up your hands if you like durian. I love it. If I smell it, my mouth will water, literally. It's so good. But anyway, Abram Meru, there he was. He went out on the ships. One day he sold books to two British sailors. They read those books all the way back to England. Both of them became Seventh-day Adventists. One of them married. Time went by. Didn't have any daughters, so he adopted a little girl. Reared her to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And she married a guy by the name of Todd Murdoch. His brother later taught at Andrews University. And they went as missionaries to the Philippines. You can see their picture in the union office there in Manila. Todd Murdoch and his wife, and through their ministry, thousands of Filipinos became Seventh-day Adventists. Then they went to build a college down in Mindanao, southernmost island. And so they went down and they found a waterfall because there was nobody had any electricity. And down there, they built Mountain View College. Anybody been to Mountain View College? Anybody here from Mountain View College? Well, I've been there many times. I ride a bus from Cagayan de Oro on the dirt road. No glass in the bus. It's always warm weather. And on top of the bus, there's goats and chickens and fish. And the smell is wonderful. On the bus, there's two seats, and I'm always lucky I get that middle seat. And then you just wish someone had some right guard somewhere. Finally, you get to the college, clean up for Sabbath. 4 o'clock in the morning, I hear a noise, rumbles, something's happening. So I get up, dress, go outside, and there's a whole line of vehicles that we bought from the U.S. government, from Subic Bay and Clark Air Base. I was the Agile Director for the whole Far Eastern Division, so I helped buy dozens and dozens of vehicles. And so there they are. And it's dark, and they're loading up teachers, faculty, and students and faculty, and they rumble off the hill. They go down, and a few of them will walk back to a village. And another place, they walk back to a village. They spend the whole day. Have Sabbath school, church. Have a story hour for children. They help the sick. We have a nursing school, Mountain View College. We have a radio station. I've preached on that radio station because we have electricity. Nobody else has any electricity. For miles around, there's no electricity. But up on that hill, there's electricity from Mountain View College. At the end of the day, they walk back down to the road, and they're picked up, and they come back up there to the campus, drive right up by the cafeteria. I've been there, watched them unload. Food is there, big trays we got from the U.S. Army there. They jump off the truck, and they come in singing. Do you know how to make young people happy? Train them for service. Do you know how to make a church happy? Train them for service. They jump off, come in singing. Is anybody old enough to remember the Heritage Singers? Anybody old? I'm so glad. Will you sing with me? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Oh, some of you don't know. It's a lovely song. Somebody teach it to them later on. Will you do that? They come in singing. You know what we have there in Philippines now at Mountain View College? We have churches everywhere. Churches everywhere. One of the largest unions in the whole world in that South Philippine Union Mission there in Mindanao. And where did it start? Well, it started with Hong Kong. with Abram and Meru, talking to two sailors in Hong Kong. So this verse has been fulfilled for him. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. What do you need today? Do you need a wife? Do you need a husband? Do you need a job? Are you facing surgery? What problems do you face? Most of us came to church this morning with some unspoken requests. Almost all of us. Maybe you've never had a heartache in your life. Maybe you haven't, but if you do, here's one more verse. The Bible is full of promises. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Everybody say it. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You know what? I just had cataract surgery in both eyes. And they said, do you want to see far or close? I said, is that the only option? No, there is one more option. It's new. I said, what is it? Well, if you pay a little extra money, you can get a lens that you can probably not need glasses anymore. I said, I'll take it. How much is it? $6,000. I said, that'd be worth it. And I can see you very well. And some of you are just looking at me, and your lips aren't moving. And I can see you very well. And I know what color shirt you have on. You know what? I've been preaching 57 years. You know what people do in church? They go on a trip. They do. They're here, but their mind is somewhere else. Who knows where? They go somewhere. And they're off thinking about that. And then suddenly, they'll wake up. And I can see them when they wake up. First of all, they'll look at the clock or their watch, and then they'll look up here and see that preacher is still going on. Why doesn't he quit? I want you to go home with this verse fully in your mind. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Everybody together. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. One day, Abram threw it down, and he met a German sailor. And where are you going? Down to the South Seas. Will you take a package for me? Yes, of course. Every sailor in the Far East, in the whole Pacific, knows this. There's a place in every island where they lock up stuff. It'll go to here, to there, wherever the islands are. May take a week, may take a month. And they all know about that. Will you take a box? Yes, of course. So Abram Meruah prepared his box, and he came back, and he found his German sailor. And here's my box, and he handed it to the sailor. And the sailor looked down and said, sir, wait a minute. You didn't put any name. An island, where does it go? My brother Lou said, that's my problem. I don't know anybody out there. I want you to find someone and give it to. Well, how do I choose? Choose a leader. You can choose the island. You can choose the city. Find a leader in the community and give him this box. Well, that was different than he ever done before. Because the ship's docked. There's a guy there who takes care of freight, mail. And it's locked up, very secure, and then it goes to another island. But this is different. He's got to get off, go into the city, and find somebody, an honest family, a leader. And in the Orient, you say family, it may mean 25 people. But he made his promise to this crazy American, and so he said, okay, all right, I'll try it. So they sailed away from Hong Kong, went to Koror, Palau. It's way down south. When he got to here, he said, here's where I get rid of this box. He walked into the city. Who's the leader here? The family over there. And he checked on it. Yes, that family over there. So he found one of the men, and he said, I got a box for you. Oh, really? Who's it from? It's Mr. LaRue in Hong Kong. I don't know Mr. LaRue. Must be some mistake. No, there's no mistake. It's your box. Take the box. He got rid of it anyway. Man opened it up. What did he find? Books, of course. My. So he began to read. Heard of the Sabbath? No, never heard of the Sabbath before. And now, for the first time, he read about the Sabbath, told his wife, told his father, told the whole little family. My, is it true? Well, it is true. In the Bible, it's God's holy day. Yes, it's true. So they had a meeting, and they said, we're going to keep the Sabbath. They were trading with the Japanese, selling them coconut and palm oil and all kinds of fruit and so forth. And they told the Japanese man, we're not going to deal with you anymore. On Saturday, we just found out that's God's holy day. Any other day is going to be all right, but we're not going to do any more work. On Saturday, it's God's holy day. Well, the Japanese man said, that's very interesting because I used to deliver freight from Yokohama to Tokyo. Tokyo and Yokohama are just side by side. You can hardly tell when you go from one to the other. Anyway, the big port is Yokohama. And he says, I delivered, and there was a guy up there. And he told me not to ever come on Saturday, but I didn't pay any attention to that. And I went there, and he wouldn't let me unload. Whew, man, I remembered it. And so He said, I never went there again on Saturday. Well, tell me about it. Well, he had his name, and so he gave his name to him. Well, his address. No, I don't have the address. He took that name only, and he mailed an address, that man's name only, Tokyo, Japan. No address, no zip. And it came to our pioneer missionary out there. And then I got that letter. We're in Carora, Palau. We just learned about the Sabbath. Is there some more things we ought to know? And so, yes, of course there is. He bought a ticket in Yokohama, sailed all the way to Carora, Palau. And he taught them every day for several weeks. And then he said he baptized that one family. They said, what else should we do? Well, you should build a church. Okay, we'll build a church. I have preached in that very church. And it's just been replaced just a short time ago. My son-in-law and my daughter were on Guam. And he was treasurer of the mission there for quite a few years. And so they've just replaced that church. But at that time, they built a church, they built a school, and it all started in Hong Kong. So this has been fulfilled for Brother Uluru. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Say it with me, everybody. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And that's the kind of God we serve. Only if you've been around blind people do you have any idea what it's like. My father was legally blind. Couldn't see the food on his plate. 70% of all blind people in the United States are unemployed. What are they going to do? My father was a little different, broke out of that mold. We had a farm and we had a business. We insulated houses in Iowa. I have blown rock wool into dozens and dozens of houses. We put rock wool in those sidewalls, storm windows on, and those people thought they were halfway to heaven. My father patented a self-storing storm door because he used to take off the screen, you'd break it, then you'd take off the glass and break it. So he patented a self-storing storm door. Glass goes down, the screen, and so forth. Patents last 17 years. He thought some door company would probably, you know, give him royalty on it. One company in Ohio asked him if he'd take $40,000 for the patent. No, he didn't want $40,000, just wanted royalty. When that patent ran out, every door company in America started making self-storing storm doors. I bought two of them, put them on my house right now back there in Maryland, one in the front door and one in the back door. But anyway, if you do not have the privilege of being around blind people, you have no idea what it's like. If they drop something on the floor, it's catastrophic. Now, it's a real problem to be deaf, but it's catastrophic to be blind. We need your help. We wish we had 27 camps. We don't right now, and so forth. And so I'm hoping there'll be someone put in 1,000, maybe 2, 3, maybe 500. Put in something. Put in something, that envelope. Maybe you can only do a little boy. He said he had 2 cents. That's all I had. Well, that's fine. Maybe $20. Be sure your name is on there and your address so that we'll be able to send you our newsletter, and also we'll send you a receipt for whatever you can give. My wife and I were holding evangelistic meetings in Sacramento, California, 50 years ago this very month. We had an auditorium. We could fill it twice a night. And we were having a good time. We had a new house and a new Mercedes-Benz diesel. It'd run cheaper than a Volkswagen. And I got a letter one day from the General Conference. Would you be willing to go to Japan? Well, we were young and foolish. Why not go to Japan? So we sold what we could, gave the rest of it away, and we went to Japan. They put us in Osaka, number 2 city in Japan. I tried to do what I did in Sacramento. But, oh, man, I put out 1 million handbills. I could put them on 2 rows of seats, empty seats everywhere. Didn't work. My, oh, my. All I could think about was going back to California, get that auditorium and blow it up. When we were there, a man in the Sacramento Bee, the newspaper up there, he made fun of us the whole time. Made all little burps about these people had an air tent. Go out and see if it falls down, and all kinds of stuff. And it was the best advertising I ever had. You know, I advertised $1,000 for a text. Do you know where that came from? Probably you know. Catholic priest, Father Enright in St. Louis, Missouri. He advertised, I'll give you $1,000 if you can find one verse in the Bible that you ought to worship on Sunday. Catholic priest. That's where we got that from. He was so tired of asking him about Sabbath and Sunday, he put that in the newspaper. Well, Adventist evangelists used that. Your dad used that, I'm sure. $1,000 for a text. We went off to Japan, and now we're over there. And, oh, my, all I could think about was going home. And I promised to stay 7 years. I felt like I was in purgatory. Lord, what am I going to do? So people came and said, would you teach us English? No, I wouldn't teach anybody English. Nobody hated English more than me. Diagramming, my line. You know, I took every math class my high school would offer. I enjoyed math. It's easy for me, anyway. And don't get behind. You look those theorems and the boy would teach English. But anyway, there we are in Osaka, Japan. And so we started an English school. And it took off like gangbusters. And people rolled in there, and I got teachers to come and student missionaries to come. And one day I got a letter from the General Conference, two ladies, 65 and 68. They said, we want to come and join your program. And well, I had never had anybody 65 or 68. I thought, can they still walk? And I didn't know. You know, all I had was young people. I thought, well, I don't know. So I told my wife, she was typing all my letters. I said, write him a sweet little letter and say we hope you can find something nice in your retirement. And I kept on reading the letter, and one of them said, can I bring a red dress to the Far East? I thought, lady, do you still have a red dress? You must have some life. And so I changed everything, and I said, come and bring your red dress. And so they came. Folks, I was so pleased. They were never late. They never got sick. They would do exactly what we asked them to do. After that, I solicited people over 65. I had almost 100 people over 65 in that Far Eastern Division. We had more volunteers in the Far Eastern Division than all the rest of the divisions put together. That's how we grew the language schools, and we baptized thousands of people. And so this verse has been fulfilled for my wife and I. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Everybody say it. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Please do something in here. Put in something. The little boy put in 2 cents. Maybe you can put a little more. And I'm hoping someone will put in $1,000. And bow your head as we have our closing prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, today we're thankful for so many blessings that are ours here in this United States. This morning I want to pray for people in Syria. I've preached in Syria. I preached in Iraq and Iran. I've been there. We have Seventh-day Adventists there. And they're going through a terrible time. Lord, we're thankful for our Lord and Savior, that we may have eternal life. And today, every one of us have come to church with some unspoken requests. May they go home today with one more promise, that the Lord is able to give us much more than we've ever dreamed possible. Send us your Holy Spirit. Send us your holy angels. Drive the evil angels away. And Lord, save us all in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.